Parshas Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Kalinsky. And Parshas B'nei HaYeshiva. It's an amazing, amazing thing to come here, Bein Hazmanim. I don't think I've ever been in a yeshiva where the Bein Hazmanim, which officially it is here, there's this many Bacharim learning in yeshiva with tremendous amount of Yegia, Amelus, Hasmada. We truly are a light to really all yeshivas and really for Am Yisrael. So tremendous yashar koach to all of you. A tremendous amount of energy as a parent is having to act as a judge. Let me explain. I have two children. They're bickering, fighting. I come in, and I already had determined that this child is righteous, but this child is correct in this area, and this child is at fault. And I admonish the one that's at fault, and I agree with the one that is righteous, that's correct. And the one who I blame for this whole episode turns to me and says to me, "Daddy, you have it all wrong. You're not right about this." So perhaps that can be the response that we as Klal Yisrael have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps we can cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avinu Shava Shamayim, and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyocho, you have it all wrong. After all, we know that Klal Yisrael committed two major transgressions in the Midbar. One was the Chet HaEgel, and the other was the Chet HaMeraglim. The sin of the golden calf, and the sin of the spies. And seemingly the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, would be a more stringent, a more chomerdik, a type of aveira. After all, the Chet HaEgel involved idolatry. And we know that idolatry perhaps is the worst possible sin that a Jew can engage in. It's spitting in the face of HaKadosh Baruch when here Klal Yisrael was at the foot of the mountain, receiving the Holy Torah. What we've been waiting for as a nation to receive the Torah, to become the Am HaNifchar, the chosen nation, the child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the beloved child. And what do? We build a golden calf. And we worship this golden calf as Moshe Rabbeinu is on Har Sinai. I would think that is the more chomer dig of Avera, as opposed to the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies were Klal Yisrael. And again, I'm not condoning the actions of the spies. But what did they do? They went into Eretz Yisrael. They looked at the people that inhabited the land and they said that we can't do this. Yet if you look at Chazal portray a totally different idea that indeed that the Chet HaMeraglim is more chamor, is more strict in the eyes of the Almighty than even the Chet HaEgel, as the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sanhedrin, that Manu v'Mishnah, the Mishnah counts different types of people, different types of sins, different types of generations that do not have a share in the world to come. The Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaFloga, the Anshei Stone, the HaMeraglim, and the sin, the people that engage in spying out the land. There is no mention of the Chet HaEgel. It seems from this Mishnah that the Chet of the Meraglim is more severe than even the Chet of the Egel. Furthermore, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sanhedrin that Klal Yisrael raised their voices, Vayifku Ha'am Balaylohu, that Klal Yisrael, they cried on that night, the night that they returned from spying out the land. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, also Laila, that night was Leil Tisha B'Av Haya. It was the night of Tisha B'Av. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Atem b'chisem b'chia shel chinam. You're crying for naught, for nothing. There's no reason to cry. Ani echve lochem b'chia shel doros. I will establish for you the night of Tisha B'Av will be a night for all of future generations to be crying. And of course we know that the night of Tisha B'Av is the night when we mourn the destruction of both Batei Migdash. Klal Yisrael today, thousands of years later, we're not suffering because the Chet HaEgel
In the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayomer Hashem Solachti Kidvarecha, I forgive you. And ultimately, the Mishkan was created in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel. But the Chet of the Meraglim, thousands of years later, still here today in the year 2017, we're still struggling and we're still suffering because of that fateful night that Klal Yisrael raised their voices and wept. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you will have a reason to cry for all the generations to come. So here I ask the question, why is it that the Chet HaEgel is forgotten and the Chet of the Meraglim, which seems to be so much less significant, we're still suffering because of? I think it's a very simple answer. Essentially, it boils down to the idea by the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu was the undisputed leader of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael had a cheshbon, had a calculation as to when Moshe Rabbeinu should come off that mountain. And the Satan had given an image, had portrayed an image that Moshe Rabbeinu had died. And now there was a state of confusion among Klal Yisrael. They didn't know where to turn. Their beloved leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, who had been with them from the onset, now was no longer, they didn't know where to turn until finally they needed this conduit. They needed some type of connection with the Almighty, and they built this Egel. Obviously not condoning their actions, but nonetheless, it was almost as if to say it was a sin out of passion. Because they had this, wanted this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they felt they could only have it as Moshe Rabbeinu, through Moshe Rabbeinu. So ultimately they built this Egel, which they thought would allow them to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Essentially though, who engaged in such behavior? It was the Erev Rav. It was the riffraff. It was the rebel rousers. Those that were trying to foster and not engender harmony with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but ultimately there were these ulterior motivations, but they were the dreck of society, if you will. But when it came to the Chet HaMeraglim was not the Erev Rav, but rather it was the Tzaddikim, the Kedoshim. It was the holy people of Klal Yisrael. It was the righteous ones. It was the leaders of Klal Yisrael, the Nesiim. And therefore, because it was the Nesiim, the leaders that engaged in such behavior, we suffer today. Because those righteous people, those tzaddikim, should have known better. They should not have engaged in that type of behavior. But they did. And therefore, we today are still suffering. Which begs the question. And it's not a question that I ask, but it's a question that Rechaim Shmulevitz asks in his Sichas Musar. How is it possible, Kulam Anashim Roshei B'nei Yisrael Hema? And Rashi explains that Anashim is Lashon Chashivos. How is it possible that such righteous people, these weren't just people that were walking the streets at night, these were people that were shakua in learning. These were the leaders of the generation. These were the people that were kasherim. Yehoshua was listed fifth. That means there were four people that were even greater than Yehoshua on that list. How is it possible that such great people, asks Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, what had happened, what caused them to have such a precipitous fall, that they would engage in such destructive behavior? And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, he quotes the words of the Mesilas Yesharim and he says as follows. He says, what caused such behavior, such destructive behavior at the hands of these great people, the Nesiim, was they were afraid. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of Bignus HaKavod. They were afraid that their honor would be diminished. As the Mesilas Yesharim says, "Tu akavod shegarem lefidas chazal el hamaraglim sheyotziu diba al haaretz." That the reason why the Nesiim brought about lashon hara on the land of Israel was because they thought that if they went into the land, their prestigious positions, their positions of prominence, would have been compromised. It would have been diminished. Miyirasim pen yimayit kavodam bichnisas haaretz. Shelo yiyu nesiim liyisrael, that they would no longer be the princes of Israel. And therefore, through their own agendas, their own desires, they forgot about the needs of Klal Yisrael, and instead they catered to their own needs. That is exactly why. Was it true? It wasn't true. Did really deep down, did they really know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take care of business? Of course they did. But they weren't interested in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. They were only interested in what they wanted. And what they wanted was to remain and assume their positions of prominence, leading the Jewish people. And that is how such great people, noble people, Talmidei Chachamim, the Nesi'ei Ha'eda, how they could stoop to the lowest of levels by engaging in Dibas Ra, in Lashon Hara, against the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael. I was working on a drasha. It was a few years ago, Parshas Bahaloska. And of course we know, we just read it last week, that Aaron was commanded to be madlik as ha-menorah, to light the menorah. And the Torah comments, Vayas kein Aaron, that Aaron did as he was told. And Rashi comments on that pasuk, Lahagit Shvacho, to give us praise to Aaron HaKohen, Shalom Mishana, that he didn't deviate from the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asks the Svasemes and asks all of the Mefarshim, what would be the Hava Mina? Why would I think that Aaron HaKohen would be Mishana, would deviate from the commands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So explains the Svasemes that that's not what Rashi is commenting on. What Rashi is commenting on is that for 39 years that he was lighting the menorah, it was with the same enthusiasm, it was with the same focus, the same intensity. It was still about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't about Aaron HaKohen. There was no hidden agendas. There was no self-interest. He didn't look at himself as being this all-prominent person who's lighting the menorah, let everyone see what I'm doing. It never deviated. It was always Vayas Kein, that Aaron did as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him, with the mantra, with the mindset that it's all Lifnei Hashem. Unlike the Nesi'im, that it was all about their self-agendas and their self-interest, Aaron HaKohen did Vayas, he did as he was told, Lifnei Hashem, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as I was working on this drasha, I was thinking about when I was growing up in Miami Beach, Florida, there was this mayor. His name was Alex Dowd. You can look him up. Alex Dowd transformed Miami Beach. It was a crime-ridden place, and now he made it a tourist destination. If you ask some of the Beis Medrash, it's not a great thing, but that's what happened. He was so successful that they were touting him to be the next governor of the state of Florida, eventually becoming, maybe one day, a president of the United States of America. But it all came crashing down because he was indicted on taking bribes, racketeering, tax evasion, and he spent a few years in prison. Until that Shabbos that I was working on that drasha, I hadn't thought about him. But as I was thinking about Aaron being committed to his craft for 39 years, my mind wandered to Alex Dowd. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to call Alex Dowd. So I found his number. Now he's listed. Nobody cares about him. I found his number. I call him up. I said, Mr. Dowd, my name is Aaron Cement. You might know my family from Miami, Florida. And I'm here working on a sermon. I'm a rabbi of a synagogue in Teaneck, New Jersey. I'm working on a sermon about the priest Aaron that never deviated from his mission, always had the focus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God before him. Where did you turn off? What happened to you, Alex Dowd? So he began to tell me that he went into this profession to help people. He saw what was happening in communities and he wanted to make a difference. He truly cared about people. It wasn't about Alex Dowd. Until finally, as he went on year after year, he saw these beautiful big mansions in Miami Beach, Florida, and he says, you know what? It's time. I want some of that. That's what the Nesi'im thought. They want some of that. And ultimately, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, they forgot that their position was a position that was there to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be a shliach, a messenger for Klal Yisrael to enhance their ability to relate and to serve the Almighty HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it didn't happen. And we're still suffering today. Every single person here in this Beis Medrash potentially is going to be a leader in Klal Yisrael, whether in the Smicha program, whether in Rabbanas, whether in Chinuch, whether a lay leader, whatever it might be. Perhaps this is the most important thing if you're going for Smicha, the most important thing from the non-halachic aspect of things that you can learn when you're going into a Chinuch and Avodas HaKodesh position is that your focus has to always be on the Almighty. It can never be about what can I do to further my career? What's my agenda? What can I do to best myself, to put myself in the best position, to be in a position of prominence that everyone can see how great I am, or how special I am, how proud I am, how talented I am? That is not a leader of Klal Yisrael. A leader in Klal Yisrael is a person that forever remains committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to serving Hashem. And if we're not going into Rabbanis or in Chinuch, but simply, not simply, it's Chashuv, to be a Chashuv of Balabas, that's no different as well. I want to suggest that there was one opportunity that Klal Yisrael could have saved themselves from the Chet of the Meraglim. We already had a kapara for the Chet HaEgel of Vayomer Hashem Solachti Kidvarecha. And ultimately we built the Mishkan and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had forgiven us. We had a chance to atone, to be mechaper for the sin of the Meraglim. And I believe that that atonement took place in Maseches Gittin, Daf Nun Hei, Amud Beis, Nun Vav, Amud Aleph. The famous story of Akamsa Bar Kamsa Chor of Yerushalayim. We all know the famous story that Ugavra Derachme Kamsa Bal Debavi Bar Kamsa. There was a person that loved Kamsa and hated Bar Kamsa. Avad Zudasa, he made a feast. Amar Le Lishmaya, he said to his servant, Zil Aisili Kamsa, bring me Kamsa. Azal Aisili Bar Kamsa, he brought him Bar Kamsa. Also Ashkei Davi Yosef, he saw that Bar Kamsa, his enemy was there. Amar Le Michti Ugavra Bal Debavi Ugavra Hu. What are you doing here? I hate you. My boy's hacha, kum poke, get up. Let me stay and I'll pay you what I ate. He said no. He said I'll pay you half the suda. And again, the balabai said no. So Amar Lei, I'll give you the entire suda. And again, the balabai said lo, no. What happened, says the Gemara. Nakte biyode, he took him by the hand. Ve'ukme va'afke, he stood him up and threw him out. Omar, Bar Kamsa said, Hoyl v'havi yosvei rabbanon. Since the rabbanon were sitting there, v'lo mochube, and they did not make a macha, they didn't cry, they didn't scream, they didn't say that there was something wrong going on here. At that moment, he went, and ultimately that was the Morid B'Malchus that brought about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Maharsha, why is it that the Rabbanan didn't say anything? Says the Maharsha, Ve'efshar Sha'asu Kein Ki Achanufo Hi Shigavra V'Oso Ador. Says the Maharsha, the reason why the Rabbanan didn't do anything was because this was a very distinguished person. This was a very prominent person, a wealthy person perhaps. And just maybe what the Maharsha is saying, this person could maybe help me one day. This person has tremendous wealth. Maybe he could further my advance my career one day. And therefore, they didn't do anything. This Rabbanon, I want to suggest, could have atoned for those Nesiim, those Rabbanon. Maybe, just maybe, if they would have gotten up and made a macha, just maybe, they could have atoned for the sins of the Nesiim in the times of the Midbar, the Meraglim. As it says in the Yalkut Divrei Asaf, Shemuchach Mizeh, we see from this Gemara, She'etzel Tamidei Chachamim, that when it comes to Talmidei Chachamim, Ein kezeh musag shticha v'amida mineged. It can't be that Talmidei Chachamim sit idle by the side. Elo sheyotzim chotzeis neged avol sheim roim. They have to stand up and they see something wrong. They have to make a macha. O shezeh etzlam, or if not, it's a haskama shebet shticha. By remaining quiet, it's an affirmation, an approbation that what's going on is correct. Talmidei Chachamim have a different din. And that is why we're still suffering today. Each and every person in this room is the next leaders of Klal Yisrael. In some capacity, anyone who's in the Beis Medrash and Beit HaZmanim is a future leader in Klal Yisrael. And it's our responsibility to be mechaper, to atone for the Nesiim perhaps. We have to do what's right. We can't sit by idly while something wrong is going on. We have to be emistic. We have to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of us at all times. Forgetting about ourselves. It's not about ourselves, our interests, our agendas, our goals, our aspirations. It can only be as to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. And if not, then give the leadership role to someone else who does understand that it's always omed lifnei Hashem. In the schus of omed lifnei Hashem, we'll be mechaper, we'll atone, we'll rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, and ultimately we'll be able to say that indeed we are omed lifnei Hashem. Thank you.